So, Andrew, you called me about, week and a half ago.
Yes. And I'm known to do that occasionally.
You do that occasionally, and you told me that I needed to get to Best Buy right away because there was a sale going on.
Is this what we're going to talk about, Will?
Where I could pick up a film called Clue.
Yeah.
On Blu-ray.
Yeah.
For like $3.
It was like $3.
So, the other day, on my day off on Friday, Good Friday, mind you, it was raining, and I was kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do with my day, because I'd been inside a lot that day, and I was like, I'm going to drive to Best Buy, which is on the other side of town, and see if I can find this Clue movie on Blu-ray. I've heard a lot of good things about this movie, Clue.
Right. And you've never seen it before.
And
right?
I've never seen it on Blu-ray. So it could be different. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I drive over there, and guess what, Andrew?
Best Buy
doesn't have it.
No, what? You're kidding me.
No, they don't have it. I looked everywhere.
Why didn't you call me and tell me? I would have gotten another one for you.
Well, you can still do that.
No, the sale's over.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was only like a week sale. Why didn't you call me and I would have gone over to Best Buy and gotten you a copy of the Blu-ray. I'll drive over there and look, but I think the sale's over. Because wow. I went back and got Ferris Bueller on DVD for $4.99. So I mean, I don't know if my wife knows I've done that yet. So.
Well, she doesn't listen to this.
Well, yeah, that's true. She definitely doesn't listen to this. She's at a Darius Rutger concert tonight, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's where all our money goes, I
Darius
said.
Rutger, yeah.
Yeah,
Not Hootie, because...
No, if it was Hootie and the Blowfish, I would be there, man. I'd be there,
but
you know.
Just Darius, yeah.
No, I said... We had a discussion about this the other day, because I went on record, and I said, I'm sorry, Wagon Wheel, the original version, is much better, and... I slept on the couch that night, so.
As you should have.
Well.
As you should have.
I mean, Will, are you saying that Darius Rucker's version of Wagon Wheel is better than the original?
Oh, let's not get into this kind of debate, okay? All right?
I don't want to push my politics on you or anything.
Yeah, exactly. This is not the kind of podcast that we talk about these kinds of controversial subjects. Speaking of controversial... I don't know if
yes.
that was a good segue or not.
It was awful. Edit that out.
The spring game happened recently.
All over college football, really.
Yeah, a lot of spring games have happened, but we're going to focus on the one at Georgia Tech, just because we are both alumni of that institution. And we could talk about every single spring game, but frankly, I think that would be the most boring of podcasts ever. So we're gonna stick with what we know, and that is the Georgia Tech spring game.
Well,
what do you know?
Interesting, Will. Interesting to me. The actual spring game is in and of itself not interesting. It's the storyline behind the spring game that ruffles my feathers a little bit.
Right. Right. Now, and before we get into that story behind the spring game,
right. Right.
I feel like, you know, I think it bears mentioning. And I did not go to the spring game this year.
Right.
I went last year, but I did not go this year. And I don't believe that you went either, nor any of our listeners. If you did go, please email us and let us know what you thought. You can email us at fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, yes.
This is, of course, the Fourth and Short Podcast. My name is Will Patton. I'm joined by...
Andrew Brown.
See, we had like a long entrance today.
Yeah. Well, you threw me off guard, Will. I didn't know we were going to talk about Clue.
That's okay.
All three endings of Clue and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like, you know, if I were to pick the favorite, I would say the last one is probably.
I know, me too. That is, yeah. I started watching it. I'm sorry, Will. I don't mean to, you know, sour grapes here because you're going to get upset. I was watching it, and I picked what I thought would be the last ending, but on the Blu-ray, they had like. The endings were different, so I picked, like, ending C, and it started, and I was like, this isn't right. No. And so I had to I ended up watching all three of them before I finally got.
So
to
So wait,
the
they
one
don't do
I,
it like they have it on the other DVDs where it's like one back to back to back. They just go straight into the ending.
You can pick. I chose first. I chose at random because I like to randomly choose an ending.
Ah, yeah, right. Yeah, that's
so
cool.
I random. Then you can go back and you can pick ending A, B, or C. So I picked C, thinking that would be the last one when they show them like in order.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. It was what I traditionally would call the first one.
Now, I do like the first one. Generally, the second one is my least favorite of all.
But
the endings.
Monkey's brains, though popular in Cantonese cuisine, are not found in Washington, D.C. So that you miss that whole part if you
True.
But, Will, I didn't. I'm a terrible fan, Will. I didn't go to a single spring game. I was here in Tallahassee, and I actually worked on Saturday of the spring game, so everybody else was out there watching Jameis Winston do very mediocrely, and I was getting sunburnt, so I didn't even see that. So,
right,
I'm just as bad as you are. Not going
well for the Georgia Tech spring game. There was a monsoon, basically, is a good term to call it, that was happening in Atlanta at the time of the spring game. And if you know anything about the Georgia Tech spring game and the city of Atlanta, first off, Georgia Tech plays their games, their spring games, on Friday nights, or they have for the past few years. And the first year that they did it, they drew, what, like 20-something thousand fans,
yeah,
which is a huge crowd for a Georgia Tech spring game. And then last year they did it again, and the weather was not good last year. It was rainy. It wasn't a monsoon by any stretch, but it was rainy. It was kind of gross. And they drew about 8,000-9,000 people.
So this is kind of a fool me once, you know, shame on you, fool me twice kind of thing, where people, you know, I mean, I would be. If I see that the weather is going to be bad again,
right?
You know, I'm probably not going to go out a second time and be like, you know, brave
right.
the weather.
And this game, it was absolutely pouring down rain. The game started at 7:30 or so, and in Atlanta, when it rains like that, traffic is awful. Mm. And it is extremely hard to get anywhere in Atlanta, especially at 7 or 7:30 on a Friday night when the weather is like that. So, and we'll get back more into one of the implications of the weather, but I guess the first is fumbles everywhere. From what I understand, there was like 12 or 13 fumbles in the first half of the game.
Right.
No one could hang on to the ball. And I think Paul Johnson wisely attributed most of that to the weather. I'm not too concerned about it. I think even on a dry spring game, I feel like there's lots of fumbles. It's just the nature of our offense that until you get a lot of practice time, there's just going to be fumbles. So there was quite a few. As for the performances on the field, I heard a lot of good things about the defense from several members of the defense that I heard had really good games. On the offense, one of the things that stood out is that Justin Thomas did not play
right
in the spring game. He was nursing a shoulder injury, which kept him out of the game. He wanted to play, but Paul Johnson didn't want him to risk getting hurt in the spring game, so he benched him for the game. So Tim Byerly is the one that got the start, or who played for the first team offense in this game. And Andrew, with this information, is there a quarterback controversy at Georgia Tech going into the fall?
Do you want the long or the short answer?
Let's go the middle of the road answer.
No.
Okay, why?
No, not at all. It's a spring game. You don't learn anything from the spring game. My opinion of spring games is this. They are too hyped up. They're basically driven by the marketing departments of the university as a way to get people to come to games. You don't learn. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. I think spring games are fun to go to. I'm as starved for football as the next guy. I love football, and I miss it when it's not being played. But it's just a fun thing. You don't learn anything about it. I go back to this. I remember a couple years ago, Georgia fans were basically said that Aaron Murray, when he performed in the spring game, was terrible. Well,
right.
That wasn't true. You don't what you see in a spring game is never really what is reality. Jameis Winston last year's spring game, you know. I mean, going into the first game of the regular season last year, people were still concerned, would he be able to perform? So that kind of shows you that the spring game is just not... It's not as important as people like to make it out. You can't draw any concrete conclusions from what you see in a spring game, just like you said with fumbles. Do you watch fumbles in a spring game and worry that, oh no, next football season we're going to have a ton of fumbles? No. Do I watch this game and do I think quarterback controversy, Justin Thomas didn't play, the backup looked, you know, decent. He looked good. He looked decent. Now he's going to be the starter. I don't buy into that. I think that you learned that you have a solid backup. I don't think you learned anything else.
Okay, I have 2 points to make on this. And,
okay.
And while I agree with you, I think that Justin Thomas is absolutely... If I were a betting man, I would say that there's a very, very, very good chance that he will be the starting quarterback come the first game of the season next year.
Right.
But with Byerly, I think that... there's a couple things to note. For one, he seems like he might be more durable than Justin Thomas. The fact that Justin Thomas is nursing a sore shoulder after just a couple weeks of spring practice...
But do you think that he would have played if it was a real game? I think he would have.
Possibly. I don't know.
I think he would have.
I didn't really hear anything, you know, one way or the other from Paul Johnson... Just that they didn't want to risk him getting any more hurt than he already was. Secondly, I kind of see Tim Byerly is kind of a Tevin Washington style player. He's not going to do anything that is going to absolutely wow you. He's not going to make some run that, you know, get SportsCenter top 10 or make a ridiculous pass. You know, threading the needle to, you know, a receiver that's triple covered or something like that. He's not going to do stuff like that. But what I believe that he can do is run the offense. Tevin Washington, when he played for us, I think he got a bad rap because he didn't have the numbers that Josh Nesbitt had when he played for Tech. But if you look at the overall statistics of the offense, Tevin ran the offense very, very well. And I think it was... simply because he didn't do anything flashy and he didn't take a lot of risks on the field. Now, I'm not saying that that's something that we should strive for, but I think that there is, at times, a place for a quarterback that is more of a point guard, like a passing point guard, doesn't go for the slam dunk, but just distributes the ball to the people that need it most. When Byerly played last year, albeit it was usually in situations where the game was wrapped up and there was no pressure on him at all to perform well. But he every time he came out there in the games that he played, I always, after his first couple of outings, I always thought to myself, Byerly is good for one touchdown if he comes in late. He's good for a touchdown. And he usually did. He usually did drive the field and score a touchdown. He scored 2 touchdowns himself during the season, and he was able to lead the offense running the ball, not too much passing. I think we only had like 3 or 4 passing attempts all season. But he did a really good job of moving the ball and not making mistakes that caused turnovers or 3 and outs or anything like that. So I'm not saying that he's the answer to our quarterback question. I still think it is Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas has amazing skills, speed to burn. I think he is ideal for an option quarterback. But I think that Tim Byerly is more than capable of taking the helm if needed.
I don't really think he's going to see a lot of meaningful playing time. It's a nice story, a former walk-on, you know, moving up the depth chart and everything. It's a nice story. I think that, you know, he might get some mop-up duty, but I just don't think I haven't seen anything from him that says he's going to be the starter. I could be wrong. I don't know.
And crazy things have happened where people get hurt.
So, yeah, sure. Yeah. Crazy things have happened. I mean, you're right. Crazy things have happened. I mean, he's a good player, but I don't know. I mean, that's. I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like I said, is that you can't make judgments, in my opinion, based on a spring game, because it's just a fun game that has coaches are not treating it like they would. You don't think Paul Johnson's calling plays like he would in a real game. I mean, he's testing things to see what will work and what wouldn't.
Right.
Your defense played well. I think that's a good story. To me, it baffles my mind. I look at this. I go back and I look, and I just am so frustrated ever more about the whole Al Groh situation. The fact that that took 4 years out of our program.
Yeah.
Really. You know, and you had players on that team, on those teams, when Al Groh was your defensive coordinator, who really could have been good.
There were some good players despite the defensive problems.
It's just, yeah. I mean, those are times I think you could have won several more games that you didn't, because your defense just was just too complicated. And it's good to see players playing. But once again, in my opinion, spring game is a spring game. Let's wait till the regular season to make any judgments on that kind of thing.
Right. The other story, and we'll just touch on this briefly, it's more of just a frustration with the media and their take on things, is obviously, given the weather conditions, not a lot of people showed up to the spring game. I haven't heard an exact number, but the number that was tossed around on social media, and a lot of bloggers and different publications picked up on it, was that 117 people showed up to the spring game.
That's obviously not true.
That
when
is
there were
obviously
easily 60 high school recruits were there by themselves.
Right.
And what I've been told is that there were a few thousand people there. You couldn't see it in the video footage because they were, if you've ever been in the stadium, they're overhangs.
Right.
And that people have some pictures of this after those pictures came out where the seats are just empty. There are pictures that other people put on a couple sites that showed the overhangs just flooded with people, everybody huddling together in those overhangs because they didn't want to sit in the seats and get
soaked.
Soaking wet.
Yeah.
But you're right, Will. I don't – it was a local Atlanta station literally spent an hour on – I think it was from Saturday afternoon. Spent an hour Saturday afternoon talking about it.
Wow.
And the 110 people that were there, and if it's indicative of the program, and how can you let something like this happen, and how the program, the quote-unquote, the program's in a shambles, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it was straight out of the Clemson caller realm, you know. It's one of those, I don't know, I don't know. There's nothing you can do about it, I don't think, because somebody gets a picture and then somebody quotes on it and the next thing you know it blows up. But it is kind of silly. I mean, anybody can say that the numbers that you actually report as being at spring games are not really that accurate. I heard a number that there was 30,000 at the FSU spring game, and I talked to a friend of mine who was there. He said there might have been 30,000 people tailgating. There wasn't 30,000 people in the stadium.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that the numbers for those kind of games are always just going to be kind of guess, because you don't ticket or anything. But was it not as many as you would have liked? Sure. Did you lose revenue over it? Not really. It's a free game.
Right. I think one of the things I thought was interesting is Isaiah Johnson was being interviewed at one point after the game,
right,
and they asked him about the attendance, and he said something along the lines of, this game was on ESPN3, right? And he says, yeah. He's like, okay, well, that's what I would have watched it on. Like, I wouldn't have come to this game if I didn't have to, because the weather really was bad. A lot of people said it was the worst, I think Paul Johnson said it was the worst weather conditions that he's had to deal with since he's been coach at Georgia Tech. So they were really, really bad.
Yeah. Now, I want to just mention something, because we've touched on it a little bit, and I've heard several people, and this has been, to me, this has been on Facebook, and I've seen a couple people comment on it in the message boards, talking about Jameis's performance in the spring game. I don't know if you watch this, Will. I don't know if you watch a bunch of... Here's another thing. I don't know if you knew this. Some schools... I was talking to somebody who watched the Notre Dame spring game, and he told me that in the Notre Dame spring game, that defense gets points. So, they score, if a defense gets, an interception or something, they score points for that. And I was like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. So, apparently, some schools have, different rules for spring games. I'd never heard of that. But he said, yeah, so, if defense, forces a three and out, it's 2 points or something crazy like that. And he started trying to explain it to me. I never heard about it. If you are a fan of some other school and your team runs the spring game a little differently, send us an email. I would like to know. It was very interesting listening to this thing about Notre Dame. Look, he could have been just pulling my leg. I don't watch Notre Dame spring game, even if it's defense scoring points and stuff. I'm not going to watch it. But if you do watch, send us an email, fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us a little bit about differences in spring games. I never heard anything like that before, and it was kind of interesting. But I would want to say, I don't know if I'm concerned or not, but as everybody knows, James Wardle Jr., Devonta Freeman, both not here, not at FSU, and so Jameis threw the ball a whole lot in the spring game, and he just was, it's what you'd expect if you're throwing the ball 50 times and you don't really have a running game. So I don't know that it's something to be concerned about, but you did lose a lot in the running back department, and I think that's why, the whole, his numbers were down. And I don't know if you saw this, Will, that James Wilder Jr., who was hoping to be drafted in the NFL in the next couple weeks, was arrested.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was about a week ago. He was driving with a suspended license. So, not really. I believe he was on his way to a draft workout, something like that for a team or something like that. And he was driving with a suspended license, and he spent the night in jail. So, not something you want to do right before the draft.
No.
So you want to either lay low or do something really good.
Right.
So, anyway, continue, Will, with what you were about to say. I didn't mean to rudely interrupt you.
That's fine. I feel like we've beat that horse. But I know that we talked briefly about this before the podcast, but last year in both the ACC and the SEC, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because I'm sure we will talk a lot more about this as we get
during the season.
The season. But preliminary, coming into the summer,
yes.
Let's make a not really a bold prediction, but let's just kind of put our thing
an average
on.
An average prediction.
Yeah, an average prediction. In the ACC, Duke was really kind of the surprise team.
So you're asking who's going to be this year's Duke?
Well, Duke's going to be this year's Duke.
Oh, all right, Will. Okay, that's I didn't. All right, thank you for your literalness and whatnot.
No, that's not the question I was asking, Andrew.
Okay,
Duke.
Who's going to be this year's Missouri?
No, Missouri's going to be this year's Missouri, but I don't think that's what you're trying to get out of me. Duke and Missouri were kind of surprise teams in their respective conferences. Both played in their championship games. Both lost, though Missouri was really close at one point of beating Auburn in their championship game.
But Duke was pretty close there in the first quarter at that point.
It was close in the first quarter. They did hold FSU back for a whole quarter and maybe a few minutes until the floodgates opened up. But But both of these teams were surprise teams in their conferences. Question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can these two teams repeat, or is there going to be another surprise team in the ACC or the SEC?
Okay. I think Missouri, no. They lost some players.
They lost their quarterback.
Yeah, I don't see them repeating. I think they'll be good.
Yeah.
I think they'll be good, but I don't see them repeating. And the SEC, there's just a lot of parity, I think. So I think that that's going to be difficult for them. And you know, Will, I can't say that I think Missouri is going to repeat because I don't pick against the ball coach. South Carolina is going to – I think I've already said that, didn't I?
I think you did, that South Carolina
is going to be in the SEC championship.
And the thing about the East next year in the SEC is there's a lot of teams – that are going through some transformations. Missouri, they lost a lot of older upperclassmen.
Right.
Georgia's losing some people, including their starting quarterback. And then teams like Vanderbilt and Florida, I don't see them being any better than they were last year. Florida had a
very good spring game. It ended in a tie.
Oh, good. Good for them.
They can't even beat themselves, Will.
So anyway, do you see any sort of – let's just start with the SEC since we're talking about it. Do you see a surprise team in the SEC, or do you think it's going to be kind of – the people on top are going to be who you expect to be on top?
I don't know, Will. I do – obviously think that South Carolina is going to win the East. I've gone on record as saying that, so I'm going to stick to it until they lose. I don't know about the West. Everybody keeps talking about this is going to be – Alabama's going to be back. I don't know. I don't know that they can be back. I don't know that I would pick Auburn. Obviously, Texas A&M, they lost a lot. So they're going to be searching for some things. I wouldn't pick Arkansas. So who's that leave? I mean, LSU and the Mississippi schools? I don't pick against LSU in this point. I think LSU might surprise people. I mean, they're always hanging around, but they seem to somehow
shoot themselves in the
foot. Yeah, not get quite enough. I think that LSU has a good chance of being pretty good this year. And you gotta wonder. I don't know. But if it's gonna happen, I think that the team that will be the surprise team will be Ole Miss, because they had that huge recruiting class 2 years ago. They could be pretty good this year. I don't know. I mean, that would be a legitimate surprise school, surprise team. It would not be out of the realm of possibility for Ole Miss to come in. They beat LSU last year. They ended up losing to Mississippi State. So they had kind of an up and down team. But that's to be expected when you were led by so many young guys. Get a year under their belt. I think it's something that could happen. I think they could be a pretty good team this year, and they might have a chance to knock off one of the big teams like Alabama or Auburn.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think, Will?
As far as a national pitcher, I'm not really sure. I do agree with you that I think that Ohio State is probably primed to have a good season this year. I mean, they had a good season last year. And I think that let's see, who did they lose? They only lost two games last year. And let's see, they lost to I don't have it in front of me. Do you remember who they lost to off the top of your head?
Who lost to?
Ohio State.
Ohio State, they lost to Michigan State, and then they lost to Clemson. They lost the last two games of the season.
That's right. So, I mean, given that they lost to two pretty good teams, I would say that there's a decent chance that they
if we're talking national, I would not pick against Michigan State. I think Michigan State is the real deal.
Right.
Their defense is solid. They did lose a couple guys, but, I mean, I think Michigan State has a really good chance to go on a good run the next few years. I really like what they've been doing up there. I think that they have a better, as far as building the program wise, I think D'Antonio has done a better job than Urban Meyer and Brady Hoke and getting that program built. And I think they are in a really good spot. And I think they could easily win the Big Ten.
Right. As far as the ACC goes, for the surprise team, I would not be surprised if Duke is back in the championship game again.
Well, that's not a surprise.
I think that a lot of people are going to put them back down again. I think they're going to think last year was a fluke, rhymes with Duke. But I think that they have the right weapons. I think they're with Boone coming back as quarterback, I think that they are going to make it interesting again in the Coastal. But I don't see Virginia Tech being any good. Miami could be, you know, who knows. Georgia Tech, it really just depends on what happens on offense. I think our defense will be good, but we got to be able to score points. In the Atlantic, I think it's a no-brainer. Florida State and Clemson are going to be the two teams to beat, but I think Florida State is more than likely going to be repeat everything. As long as they have Winston, anyway.
You say repeat everything. Think they're going back to the national title game?
With all the weapons that they have coming back, absolutely.
I mean, even though you lost both your main running backs, and you lost Kelvin Benjamin, and you lost a couple defensive guys, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. But I'm just saying that, you know.
The recruiting has been so good at FSU the past couple years. You got, what, 2 5-star wide receivers in this year's class?
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, a 5-star receiver is, you know, like a mini Calvin Johnson. And you have somebody like Jameis Winston throwing to those guys. I mean, it's I just think that there's so much going for them that I think that they'll – that right now I feel like they're the strong contender to repeat. But anyway, we have plenty of time to mull over this. Plenty of time.
It's interesting. Well, I would like to say that you didn't even mention Virginia. And rightfully so. Virginia's been pretty bad. But Virginia had a very good recruiting class this last year. They got a couple of big recruits out of the state of Virginia. And if somehow that coaching staff is able to hang on to their jobs, I think that they could be really good in a couple of years.
Right.
So I don't know. But I am going to say that I don't think they can win it next year. And also, Will, I don't know if you saw that there was a coach in the NCAA this last week who told some boosters that he did not believe his team could win a national championship this year. And
it wasn't
Bowling Green, and it wasn't it wasn't Vanderbilt's coach.
Right. And
who was it? Well, Will, what I feel like I ruffled some feathers there. What were you about to say?
Well, I mean, when you say something along the lines of "we're not going to win a national championship this year," I think that almost gets everybody really excited, like, oh, the humility! Oh, we're gonna win! Like,
seriously though, if Mark Richt walked into a room of boosters and said, "We're not gonna win a national championship this year,"
they would throw a parade because it would mean it's like, because he's saying that we're not gonna do it, we're actually going to do it. Let's celebrate and throw a parade.
No,
That's what they would do. That's what they would do.
No, they would not do that. They would throw him to the wolves. I mean, people would be so infuriated with him saying that, because they would say that he's giving up and that he's letting his players accept mediocrity. I really don't think the fan base would be happy if he said that. I really do not. And what we're talking about here is that this was probably maybe 2 days ago. New Texas coach Charlie Strong was asked some kind of question, and he responded by saying that he did not believe this year I think he said flat out, "We will not win a national championship." So, you know, doing it in your first year, I think, is acceptable. But I think there are some coaches who would say you would never say that because you don't want players to think that they aren't here for something important. I know Lou Holtz always said that. I mean, he said we're not – when he took the job at South Carolina, he said – I mean, South Carolina had been terrible for a long time. And he said, I'm not here for 3 or 4 years. I'm here to win right now.
Right.
So, you know, I think there probably will be a few people who are angry about Charlie Strong saying that.
Right. Well, I think they'll get over it. I think that he is the right coach for them, and I think that people do need to understand that it is very rare for a first-year coach to run in and do something like what Malzahn did. That's pretty rare. But
Malzahn didn't make a comment like that saying, we're not going to win a national championship this year. I mean, he didn't ever say they were, but he also didn't say they weren't.
True, but Charlie Strong is not saying that we're not going to try to win a national championship this year. I mean, he's just being a realist and saying, hey, look, Rome wasn't built in a day. It's like, I know that Gus Malzahn did it, you know, lightning struck and he was able to pull off a miracle getting to the national championship, but most programs, it takes a few years, and it's, you know, usually year 3 or 4 before things really start hitting their stride. And I think most fans that are paying attention understand that.
I'm sure they do, but at the same time, I wouldn't appreciate a coach saying that if he said that. I just wouldn't appreciate it. I would think that, well, I want to win right now. I want to win one right now. I don't like the idea that you have already written it off.
Right.
Even if you think that.
True. I understand your concern. If you were a Texas fan.
Well, I'm not.
Very good. Very good. Well, Andrew, I think that we've covered a decent amount for this podcast. Do you have any final thoughts before we cut it off for this episode?
I do. I have about 75 more thoughts.
Okay, well, let's narrow that down to one. Do you have one final thought that you would like to wrap up with?
I do. Well, you know, I always like talking about money.
Money.
Yeah, because money talks.
Right.
Right? So, interesting, the whole thing with that school that we don't have to talk about anymore, Will, and I'm not going to mention their name, and I would appreciate it if you would not either.
Oh, that's right. And it's official now. Like, it is official.
Yeah, they're gone. But we will call them the school that we will not name. We need to think of a quicker name.
School that will not be named.
Yeah. School that will not be named. We might need to shorten that with some, like, abbreves or something. But
yeah.
The whole legal thing that's going on with them, trying to sue the conference and everything.
Mm, yes.
Some numbers came out.
Because they owe, what, $50
million? $50
million. $50 million.
Yeah, I don't know who they thought they kidnapped. Chelsea Clinton?
Okay.
That's a little Rush Hour
reference from...
Yeah, very nice, Will. Very nice. The first Rush Hour, not 2 or 3.
No, the first one.
The first one. The original. Whatever happened to Chris Tucker?
Oh, you know, he just completely stopped acting, but he was in Silver Linings Playbook, if I'm not...
He was good in that movie.
He was really good in that movie.
Yeah, he needs to do more movies. If you are listening, Chris, please. Please
we know
do
Chris,
more movies.
We know he's listening because he's sent us emails before.
Yeah, I mean, he's an Atlanta guy. You know, he's been to... I've seen him at some games, you know. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy, but he needs to act in more movies. Jackie Chan's not knocking down the door to make Rush Hour 4, so I'm sure that out of the thousands and thousands of scripts that have been written since 1965, you can find one script that's semi-good enough for you to just come in and do your thing.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't need, like, a good script for the movie to be funny. He can just go in there and just kind of, you know, ad-lib stuff.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, his
but
stand-up's
anyway,
funny.
Yeah. Okay, right. Anyway.
Right. Funnily, also, Money Talks, that's another Chris Tucker movie. Weird. That might be his Fifth Element, I guess, is his only other movie.
Anyway, hey, that's a good movie, too.
But Money Talks and The Fifth Element are both... The Fifth Element is on Netflix now, Will.
I have The Fifth Element on Blu-ray, so I don't know.
On Blu-ray?
I bought it on Blu-ray. I really like that movie.
I really like that movie, too. Yeah, I have it on the, dare I say it, DVD.
Ooh. Oh, the
it's
quality.
A tough,
ugh.
Yeah, it's such a tough watch. All the grain and like,
oh, gosh.
I can't even stand it. I walked in the other day and my wife was watching something and I was like, oh, wow, this is a nice Blu-ray. And she said, how can you tell this is a Blu-ray? I was like, I know.
I can tell. Yeah.
So, about the money. So the whole legal stuff is going on with Marilyn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dang it. I said it.
We'll bleep it out.
Yeah, just put a... Oh, gosh, I feel like I owe you $10 or something, Will. I just feel dirty now.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a shower, so... Anyway, the whole thing that's going on, we've always been told that how much in the neighborhood the ACC gets per school. Well, the number officially came out that the ACC gets $19.2 million per school.
Okay.
So... That is pretty good compared to the other, where the other schools are. You're right in the ballpark. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not like you're not making any money. Now, where the SEC and the Big Ten get their money is that they actually own the network. So that does change things. But what it means is that the ACC is, as John Swofford has said several times, he said, look, we're in the ballpark with everybody else. We're not hurting for money, so when people say these things, we're right there. And these numbers do show that it does look like the ACC is one of the top per school revenue, just on revenue, just on TV revenue, not including the extra that you would get because you own the network.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see. It's good for the ACC to know that you're still pulling in money.
So what is the school that shall not be named? What are they going to be getting in their new conference?
You know, this I didn't say that, but I have read previously that one, nobody really knows for sure because the Big Ten doesn't release exact numbers. I mean, everything goes off of approximately a school could make between 18 to 28 million, so you get all these approximate numbers. But something that I've read is that the new schools that are coming in, which would be Maryland and Rutgers. Initially, I'm really bad. I have a problem, Will. I really do.
Anyway.
They are going to be making less money than the other schools for the first 5 years or something like that. So they're not going to be full-fledged making the same. And who knows if that's true. But I don't think that Maryland is going to be making that much more money. I mean, you see...
Okay,
you
even if you make... Like, okay, you said $19 million is what ACC schools make?
Right.
So let's say you make 21, which is... $2 million more.
Yeah,
you're still 25 years before it evens out. Like, why would you leave?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
And then
at all.
You're going to play games against teams that are so much farther away.
Yeah,
don't have any sort of geographical, connection whatsoever to where you were beforehand, where you were playing teams in Virginia and Pennsylvania and teams that were close to you, and now you're playing teams that are the closest one is
Rutgers maybe Rutgers
Rutgers and
one.
Penn Penn State, but mm-hmm. besides that you got to go all the way out to the Midwest.
Yeah,
you got to go to like
State,
Ohio,
Michigan, over and over. Yeah,
Minnesota, like there's geographical rivalries there.
And see, it's okay. None of that matters if you're thinking strictly about football. Because regardless, you're going to get on a plane. It's going to take roughly the same amount. I mean, not that much more time. But when you're sitting there thinking about, hey, I am a coach for women's volleyball, or I'm the coach for track and field.
It's not just that, Andrew. I mean, you think about the like when Georgia Tech plays a team that is geographically closer than others, like when we play Georgia or Clemson or Florida State, or maybe another team from a state that's a bordering state.
Georgia Southern next year. You play Georgia Southern.
Georgia
next
Southern.
Year.
You're gonna be drawing in a lot more people into your stadium because the other fans can travel over to your right. stadium and vice versa. You can send away fans to their stadiums. You can't do that anymore. That's gone.
And Maryland has had an issue with filling their stands. They've had season ticket problems the last few years. And so I don't think that you're going to start filling your stadium. The idea is, but the Big Ten, they travel. Well, sure they travel. They travel from Iowa to Minnesota. That's a little different from Iowa to Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a student, I mean, you're just wiping out students attending. Because if I was a student at Maryland, I couldn't go to Minnesota on a weekend.
Right. Well, it's just it's also like when there's teams that are geographically close, you have fan bases that you can interact with outside of the game. Like I work with people who went to Georgia, or they went to Clemson, or they went to Florida State. You know, I work with people that went to school close to the team, or they went to school at places where we're going to play, and so you can talk about that kind of stuff. Maryland is just going to be this oddball team sitting out there not having anybody to talk to.
Yeah, nobody likes them, so.
Yeah, they're horrible.
It makes sense.
Horrible.
Like, I say that everything that happens to them is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely,
absolutely fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Andrew. Well, that's all I have. I think that is a podcast.
It's a good episode. Quality episode.
Quality episode. I had some Clue in there, you know, had some Chris Tucker, a little bit of football mixed in between, so good episode.
The whole 9 yards.
The whole 9 yards, starring Bruce Willis.
Yeah, but don't see the whole 10 yards.
No, I don't, was that a movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Don't see that one.
Terrible.
Don't see that one. Anyway, I think Matthew Perry was also in the whole 9 yards.
Yeah. The first one's funny. The whole 9 yards is funny. The whole 10 yards is not.
Yeah. Matthew Perry, also known for Friends and Almost Heroes, if you ever saw that movie.
No, I never saw it. I did see
you
Fool
never
Rush
saw
In.
Almost Heroes.
No. It's probably the only Chris Farley. Look, here's another
go,
thing. Let's
it was
just,
the last one that he did. Go see Almost Heroes.
Let's just state one thing out. Just get it out there. Chris Farley was always funny.
Yes, and,
always.
And Almost
everything
Heroes.
He ever did. Everything
yeah,
he ever did was funny.
And that's why you need to go see Almost Heroes. Because it is amazing.
I loved
that movie growing up, and I still do to this day.
Okay, let's talk about this. If you were to, if they handed you, like, you had to pick, would you pick Tommy Boy or Beverly Hills Ninja?
Oh, Tommy Boy. Hands down.
Okay.
I've only seen Beverly Hills Ninja a handful of times. I've seen Tommy Boy probably 30 times.
Yeah, it used to come on TV
so
much.
I own Tommy Boy on Blu-ray. That tells you.
They have that on Blu-ray?
On Blu-ray.
I have the Holy Schnikey edition on DVD, but I don't have the Blu-ray.
My favorite scene in the whole movie is when they're riding in the car and they're kind of scanning the radio stations, and they get to a really sappy love song. I can't remember the song.
It's a Superstar by the Carpenters.
Yeah, that's it. And they're both like, oh, I'll listen to it, whatever. Like, and they both are playing it off when they don't really want to listen to it, but they both really do want to listen to it. And they cut away, and they come back, and they're both, like, singing at the top of their lungs, and they're both crying. Oh, man. That is a great
I always
scene.
Liked when they go in, and Chris Farley starts talking about, like, you could go with our brakes, or you could go with the Cut brand that's not as good, and you're driving along, shut up!
And the kids are yelling at Maxie.
We're burning alive. That's probably my favorite scene.
And then the customer was like, get out.
Get out right now. Yeah.
It's like, what was the line that he used? Hey, do you know where the gym's at?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll find it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, man, that's a good one. And Dan Aykroyd's in there. Dan Aykroyd. One of my favorites.
As Zelensky.
Wayne Zelensky.
As always, I'm like, that's straight from Honey, I Shrunk the Kid. So, like, you can't use that name.
Yeah, but it's. I think it's spelled differently, isn't it? In Tommy Boy, I think it's S Z Zelensky.
Oh, there's lots of different ways that I'm sure you could spell Zelensky. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's not a common name. But if you were to choose, which Zelensky would you choose? Rick Moranis or Dan Aykroyd?
Oh, man. Look, I love Rick Moranis. And it's a shame that... I know why he's not acting anymore, but it's a shame that he's no longer acting.
Yeah.
You're asking a little bit much of me right now, Andrew.
Yeah. It's like trying to pick between my children, right? If I had some.
If you had any children. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Ghostbusters and... Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, you know, and Tommy Boy. Those are three favorites that, oh, goodness.
Moranis, man, he was in some good ones back. Spaceballs?
Oh.
He's in Spaceballs? He was in so many good movies, and then
did you ever
all
see the
sudden,
the sequel to Spaceballs? The
cartoon one?
The Search for More Money.
Search for More Money, yeah. Well, you know they'd made a Spaceballs cartoon.
Oh, yeah, I know. I never watched it.
It was awful. I was so excited, and then I watched the first half of the first episode, and I was like, this is awful.
Yeah.
It's just awful. I think it's because John Candy wasn't in it. That's, he was the...
Chris
was
Farley
the
and John Candy were those actors that they just died before their time.
John Belushi also.
Yeah.
The big guys. Sam Kinison, if you were a fan of Sam Kinison.
And, of course, the director of a lot of those movies, John Hughes. So...
No. John Hughes did all the John Candy ones, but John Belushi was
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I see.
Mentioning people who died before their time.
So. Right. Yeah. I thought you meant that he directed the Chris Farley movies, and
No.
Different. Yes. John Hughes was. He was probably one of my favorites. So.
Right. Anyway, I believe we've jumped the shark here. I'm calling it a podcast, Andrew. Thanks for talking. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
It was good. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again. If you would like to email us, please email us at fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com. My name is Will Patton. I was joined by...
Andrew Brown.
Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.